DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
With this morning, I joined with our Holy Father in prayer at the Vatican. It was 1:30 here when I, by television, was praying the rosary and hearing the testimonies and the joy and the anticipation of the Mass that was going to begin there. It was 7:30 in the morning for those in Rome, and then the Mass began at 10:30, and I listened and prayed with them. As I prayed my rosary, and it's been a beautiful day, and I feel that Our Lady is so happy on her day, and she's speaking with us and has much to teach us and wants to tell us how grateful she is for making her message known and encouraging us at this very critical time in history to bring about peace in the world. Mary's peace plan is, I hope, being fulfilled now, as she had proposed it. But no matter how long it takes, that perseverance, that faithfulness, and that simplicity of the message, you know what I think is so hard to grasp is how much God really, really loves us. We keep looking at ourselves. Like the first part of the message today in the Mass is the simplicity of it all. That God really loves me so much that he wants to dwell in me. That if I am a baptized Christian, a Protestant, an Orthodox, a Catholic, if I am baptized, God has chosen to have a relationship with me of his own child. That God and Mary had so much to do with it. The simplicity of how it happened in history is reflected in the story of Naaman. And so in the second book of Kings, it's a very powerful story that we read, and I would like to just talk about it. It's in the fifth chapter. I'll read from the 14th to the 17th verses. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan seven times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. This Syrian, Naaman, and a commander, was sent to Elisha. And Elisha told him, go down to the river Jordan. Plunge into the river Jordan seven times, and your leprosy will be cured. Naaman came to Elisha because Elisha was a man of God, the God of the Jews, the God who is the true God. All of the eastern kingdoms and peoples and nations, in fact, in the whole world, there was many, many gods, but the God who is God is our God. He is the God of the Jews. He is the God of Abraham. He is the God of the prophets, and that's who he is. Naaman, who's not a Jew, discovers this and comes to him because of that. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from me, your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocausts of sacrifice to any other god except to the God who is the Lord." Now he has become a convert. What's the lesson we learn from Naaman? Well, he had to believe in order to be healed, and he had to believe in God. Now, can you imagine him as he is there in the Jordan, plunging once, and then he comes up, plunging twice? Was his leprosy still there? Plunging 3 times? What was in his mind when he plunged in 4 times? Was he believing? Evidently, yes. 5, 6, 7, and he's cured. It was his faith, that simple act that he was asked to do. You know, when the prophet asked him to do that, he first didn't want to do it. What kind of nonsense is this? And then, if you believe, this is what you'll do. And just because it's simple, he objected to it because it was so simple. When God wants to do great things, he does them simply. When he wanted to save the world, what did he do? He came to like Nowheresville, Nazareth, to a small country, Israel, to the least expected person. Why didn't he come to some king? Why didn't he come to some Roman emperor? Why didn't he come to someone who was great? No, he came to a humble maid of Nazareth. Her name was Mary. God, the God who made all the galaxies, the God who made the universe, comes down and asks Mary, "Will you be," because he wanted her to have the free will, "will you be the mother of my son?" She simply has a question because of her virginity. "How can this be? Because I've committed myself to virginity. I know not man." And God said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. I am a second person. I have a son. I am a third person. I have a spirit." And when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now, Chris and myself and every baptized Christian, what happened to Mary that day happens to you and me. The simplicity of this act of the incarnation. Up until now, mankind had been separated. 2013 years ago, God came to a woman and he asked her permission. And she simply said, "Yes, be it done to me according to your word." And the unity of man and God took place in the womb of Mary, Jesus Christ, the Savior of all of mankind, became incarnate. What simplicity! Far greater than any act of healing a leprosy, the incarnation, the Son of God, becomes a human. Chris, and anyone listening to me, so it is with you, and so it is with me. And even though I had been baptized on the day I was born, I did not know that. It took me so long. Listen to what Paul says about this, how important this is, as he writes to Timothy, "Beloved, remember Jesus Christ." raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. But I think it is a lot. I really do. But he is not going to ever chain it. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. You and I are one with Jesus Christ. The door and the gateway to heaven is opened, and we are one through our baptism with God. And that key and that power will lead us to eternal glory. That is utter simplicity. It's not extraordinary. It's ordinary. It's so ordinary, like plunging into the river of Jordan and being cleansed of leprosy. Being baptized is ordinary, and it's for us, and it's given to us. But it really requires faithfulness. When we were baptized, either you yourself or by words of your godparents, I really reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. This faith was professed the day, but to be steadfast and faithful to that. Paul goes on, you know, there's those of us who become united with him. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. That's what our baptism did. We died with him and we rise with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. Now, unfortunately, many of us have. In the history of our lives as Christians, many come to denying Christ. How many people fall away from their baptism? You know, people living a life of sin away from God. That's what it is. Through Jesus and with Jesus and in Jesus, we are called to holiness. When we deny him, we are failing. You know, as we fall into lives of excessive drinking, gluttony, pornography, going away from God, just being concerned about the things of the world, piling up money, and forgetting our faith. And so there is times when we have been unfaithful. What is Paul saying here? But if we deny him, he will deny us. But if we are unfaithful, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If you've been living a life of unfaithfulness, he still is in you. He remains with you. He never stops being with you. You are the baptized of the Lord. Your baptism just doesn't go away. He is in you. That same perseverance is shown to us by Mary. Mary, when she said yes to God, the first thing she did was went out to care for her cousin Elizabeth, reaching out to others. When she took this baby to the temple, Simeon told her, a sword shall pierce your heart. Mary is the faithful one. Mary remained faithful. When she stood beneath the cross, she was full of hope, even though she saw him dying. She saw what they did to him. They killed him. Even when she buried him, she was full of hope. And this woman of faith and faithfulness had experienced what Paul said. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. When she saw him Easter, she had never lost faith. Never. Mary's faithfulness persevered. And so the one hope, Our Lady, full of confidence and trust in God, the God who promised salvation through, in, and with Jesus Christ, who suffered, who died, and who rose from the dead. That same Jesus is in each of us. That same Jesus is giving each of us that power and that grace. And so today I'm going to have Mass, and there's going to be two people there, and they're going to consecrate themselves to Our Lady on this feast of Fatima. Jack is coming, and his son committed suicide, and his belief of his son's salvation, his prayers and faithfulness. There's a woman who's going to come, and the suffering she's going through. You see, many of you who may be listening, when you took your vows at the altar, and those vows always are tested, how faithful are you? You know, when we say yes, if you deny that vow that you've taken, he remains faithful. She is remaining faithful, although she's suffering terribly, and it's costing her a great deal. She has four children, and today she's going to be at this Mass that I'm going to offer. The saying yes to God. She said yes. You who said yes on your marriage day, for you to persevere through many hardships, through many strains and difficulties with your marriage, to say yes. If you're a priest and you're listening and you took a vow to be faithful to your priesthood, the many strains and stresses that you'll be put through, to be faithful to your promise, to be crucified with Christ, to die with Christ, and to rise with him. There's always the resurrection. He will remain faithful. We must at times and are called upon to persevere. Finally, the leper in today's gospel that is cured, and also the leper who is Naaman. Let's listen to the lesson that Mary teaches us, and it's principally gratitude. This is taken from Luke's gospel, and it's the 17th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," because they were lepers, and they couldn't approach him. They used to ring a bell and stay away from everyone. They were such desperate people. And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed. Were there not? Where are the other 9? His Sacred Heart was really disappointed with ingratitude. Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? Then he said to him, "Stand up, your faith has saved you." Mary is a powerful example of gratitude on this feast of Our Lady of Fatima. When she was pregnant with Jesus and glorifying God, she went immediately to serve her cousin Elizabeth, who was an old woman. And Elizabeth, recognizing who she was, the mother of God, "How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That God had already revealed it to Elizabeth. And Mary glorified God with her Magnificat. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him and every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. Her Magnificat was the song of thanksgiving. When God does great things for us, our response should be, thank you, thank you. How many times in our families, the simplest thing to do is to say thank you? How much more happiness would come between a husband and a wife, between children and their parents, brothers and sisters, if we would just simply say thank you? Many times, and even if those other would come back and just say, I'm sorry. Two of the simplest things to do to bring harmony and peace would be gratitude and sorrow and forgiveness. These simple things that can bring a Marian spirit, a spirit of Nazareth into our home, that today Our Lady of Fatima wants to bring to families and to nations. It's very interesting that both these people in the readings today, Naaman was not a Jew, he was a Syrian, and the Samaritan was the enemy of the Jews. And so these are the outsiders. And maybe you don't have any religion at all. This magnificent woman is your mother. She is the mother of Jesus, and her title of Our Lady of Fatima is the mother of God, because he is Jesus, and he wants to come and live in you. And the gospel that Paul is talking about, that he's preaching, and the gospel that we are trying to give witness to, is Christ in us. Now, could it be that if you are a Christian, to give witness to the life of Jesus within you would bring about the salvation, as it did through Paul, of so many, that you would bear witness to the power of Christ within you, transforming you, leading you, and guiding you into eternal glory? Mary reached out. She reached out to Elizabeth. She reached out in thanksgiving all over the world. When I saw that Mass today, hundreds, thousand or more there in St. Peter's Square last night with candlelights and prayer, through the shrines that's connected with it, millions all over the world, in Częstochowa, in Lourdes, in Fatima itself, in Guadalupe, in Cabello, Our Lady loving through the whole world and reaching out. Our Lady interceding for us. Dear Lady of Fatima, pray for us that we will follow your peace plan of the Rosary. We honor you and we praise you today for your faithfulness and for your love.
Any final thoughts today, Monsignor?
You are the chief purpose and the one who is being called on. And needless to say, that means the world, if it's going to be saved, will be a mother like you, a faithful and loving mother. It'll be a wife like you, in imitation of Mary. It'll be a daughter like you. I would like, in this, especially Chris, to appeal to the women of the world, to the daughters of Mary. How powerful this daughter of God is, this mother of Jesus is, this spouse of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.